Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. As you heard in the message, what you didn't hear in the message is that this evening is January the 21st, Monday, January 21st. That's right. Okay. And on the West Coast, it's still January 20th. We say that for archiving purposes. So that's Seth and Donald and anyone who's working in the main office at BBS Radio does not go crazy. So we handle it for the people on the East Coast, and we handle it for the people on the West Coast. Now, if you are in the Central or Mountain time zone, of course, you know to subtract 1 or 2 hours. And happy to have everyone with us. I'd like to give some shout-outs tonight. Received an interesting email from Kastara in Phoenix, Arizona. And I wanted to thank her for that information. Also, my man Vance had a great time this evening. Where are we? Well, right now we're broadcasting, believe it or not, from Heartbreak Hotel in Orlando, Florida. Actually, I'm just improvising the name a little bit. People here have been very gracious for the most part. I say for the most part. I want to tell you a little bit about the trip here. You know, it's driving. It's about a 24-hour drive, and it was a harrowing experience at times, yet very exciting. Of course, I was accompanied by my man Vortex, or V, as we call him. What's up, V?
What's up, man?
Say it a little bit louder so they can hear you.
He said, what's up, Don?
All right. He said, what's up? And our guest tonight, we'll introduce him in a moment. These are the video and music side of Direct Light Productions. Our production crew has come out here as we were promoing last week. Promoing, that's a new verb, by the way. The Ron Paul Meetup Rally, which is going to be held on the 23rd. That's this Wednesday from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. at The Haven in Winter Park, Florida. And we had a chance to go out to The Haven to start setting this whole thing up. We are going to be streaming the event live, and it's a 3-hour event, both on radio and television, internet TV. So we're pretty excited about this. This is going to be the second broadcast, and it happens to be centered around Congressman Dr. Ron Paul. Of course, many of you know that he is running for the presidency of the United States, and those of you who don't know, know now. It's amazing that there are some people out here in Florida that have never heard his name. And so this event is very important for many reasons, for the vote in Florida, of course. The rumor going around is that Rudy Giuliani is going to win Florida, and I wonder if that's because of his New York friends who retired to the Sunshine State. I won't speculate much beyond that, but I just don't see any rhyme or reason for the votes that are coming out in these primary elections that are going on around the country. In fact, there has been quite a bit of charge of corruption of one sort or another, foul play to say the least, with the famous Diebold voting machines, as well as the count. Supposedly the recount in New Hampshire was again tainted by some videotape that shows distinctly that a sheriff's vehicle was loaded with sealed boxes, but when it arrived at the place where the votes were going to be tallied, the boxes were already unsealed. Now, I don't know if they did that during a cop's shooting or They just decided that they had to change some of the votes somewhere else and put them back in the box, and they didn't have the tape with them. Who knows? And I don't know what they look like personally when they're sealed. I would presume that possibly a judge presides over the ritual, and that to receive unsealed boxes which are containing votes that are to be recounted should raise an alarm. There is quite a bit of furor over what's going on. You may see some lawsuits. There are definitely some people who are demanding the recounts. And Ron Paul, I should say, is not the only one who has been excluded from a few debates. Dennis Kucinich has endured the same type of treatment. Of course, he's well known. He ran for the presidency in the last election. Of course, he didn't win, but he is entitled equally to receive attention from the public and from the media, as well as any other candidate. Now, tonight they were pushing on CNN, they were pushing this debate between three of the Democratic candidates. And I'm speaking of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and also John Edwards, not necessarily in that order. I heard quite a few very, very controversial statements come out of each of the candidates' mouths, and in particular, Hillary Clinton. Some of the charges that she made in regard to Barack Obama's voting record were totally unfounded, and he corrected her. In fact, she failed to mention her shortcomings as far as the massive embezzlement that's going on with the Leo Wanta money and her role in that. And that should come out eventually. So we have this event that we're going to be airing on the 23rd. That's this Wednesday. And in addition to that, we have these debates going on, and we have these caucuses in various states. And, of course, we have what they're calling Super Tuesday, which is February 5th coming up, where they will be making decisions in many states across the country. And the media is at their spin machine again. And I just have to stress that point, that this can be backed up with research, not just by myself, but many others, that a lot of stuff is being covered up. And here on BBS Radio, we are doing what we can to bring that to everyone's attention. Now, speaking of Wednesday, I'm presuming I will be doing the TNT News Hour, and that time is 1 p.m. Pacific time. If it does not conflict with the event that we're putting together here, I will be on there. If not, I will make Don Newsom do it, and I hope you heard that, Don. Actually, Seth might even do it for me. Right, Seth? You're free to shout out if you want to. No comment. Okay. All right. Seth might be out of the studio at the moment. Okay. Now, the trip. Oh, he's going to respond here. I think he's responding. He's going to send me a message. Or did he? I'm hearing the mic open there. Did you say something, Seth? Oh, okay. All right. Turn that mic off. Okay. When we got to Florida, we were given some bogus directions, I'll say, and where we should have turned left, we were told to turn right. When we were told to go straight, we should have been going crooked. You know, I mean, nothing matched. We ended up going the wrong direction on a freeway that was quite simple, really, to travel. And then we ended up on the turnpike. We were actually told to go on the turnpike. You want to talk about being nickel and dime to death. We paid $2.50 to get on the turnpike. And then we had to stop for gas, so we got off at the first exit, and we had to pay some more money to get off. And then we got our gas, and then we were getting back on the turnpike, and we had to pay again to get on the turnpike. And we went about a quarter of a mile, and there was another toll. And then we found out that we should have been heading in another direction, and we had to make a turn, get off at an exit, turn around, and as soon as we got on that direction, again, we had to pay, and then we came upon another toll booth, and it is absolutely incredible how much money they are bilking out of the public. I think within a five-minute period, we spent $20 in tolls. Now, you can go across many states in the Midwest on the turnpikes where you pay and where the roads are pretty nice. We went through major construction. We went around barrels. The barrels weren't even set up that you can see where the exits were or where the on-ramps were. There were sections of road that were not repaired. We're paying for this, folks. We're all paying for it, and you should be outraged. Now, when I ask people, explain to me why the tolls increase, like per quarter mile or half mile. I mean, normally you can go 20 miles and then there might be a little toll. It's like that most days, but down here, oh my goodness. I think they're going to come up with a toll where when you start your car, you have to pay a toll before you even leave your house. And you're going to have to pay a toll when you shut it off or when you change the radio station or change a CD or a tape. It's and my guests are here cracking up a little bit without making a peep, but they know exactly how I feel. Now, when I ask why, I ask these toll takers or these trolls, these gnomes that are working for the state, why do we have to pay this money? Who thought this up? They hand you a little blank piece of paper that's got a couple of lines on it. And I guess you're supposed to turn this in and make a complaint or ask some kind of official question. But we need to be beating down the doors of the politicians that permitted this to happen. There's massive highway robbery. We figured if they have a million people go through what we went through in any one day, it's $20 million. $20 million they're going to take in, and that money's not going into that road, I can guarantee you that. And it ain't going into the education of the person that's working the toll booth either. So enough of that. There'll be more, I'm sure, before we leave here. But other than that, the weather is beautiful. It was nice. I saw the first bit of sunshine. I saw one chemtrail yesterday. That was it. Just one little itty-bitty chemtrail. And other than that, the weather has been nice. The skies have been very clear. Now, it could be that the chemtrails interfere with the space shuttle and what's going on at Kennedy Space Center. So that might be why we're not seeing so many chemtrails. But people have been very nice and very, very helpful and very appreciative of what we're doing, what BBS Radio is doing. And Maria Nelson, who is a co-owner of The Haven, wanted to specifically thank Donald and Doug Newsom for making this event possible. And they hope to have some other events in the future, some musical events. There's a lot of bands. We got to hear some, when the guest comes on, we're going to be talking about this. We got to hear some original music, I guess. I may be a little bit behind the times on some of what's being recorded these days. I think chiropractors do a good business in this area, just from the amount of whiplashing I've seen tonight of various musicians. And it didn't matter if it was a singer, a bass player, guitar player, or drummer. These people could retire and work part-time in a circus as bobbleheads. That's how limber they are. But some interesting music, very interesting lyrics that I can't repeat on this show and probably not in many other places. Just one of the many events that goes on here in Orlando, Florida. So we are preparing for this event, and there's a lot of excitement, a lot of interest in Ron Paul and what's going to come out of this event. As we mentioned, we are going to be putting out a DVD. And this is after we go back home and have a chance to edit and add in the graphics and put in all the credits and everything for all the people that worked hard. We were able to put a team of people together to make this work. So we're looking forward to it, and we hope that we do the event justice and that we enlighten you to what's going on here. Hopefully you will all also acquire one of these DVDs when they're available. And we'll have them available at directlightproductions.com, my website, and also at bbsradio.com. And now, Ken Adachi at educate-yourself.org also promised me that he would help Dr. Paul. And what we intend to do is take a portion of the proceeds from this DVD and donate it to Dr. Paul's campaign. So the music from Soul Function is very good. It's a very good musical group. They have good singers, good material. It's music that you will like, music that you will recognize. It's toe-tapping stuff, dancing stuff, sing-along stuff. And there will be quite a bit of information about the Ron Paul meetup groups, which I hear is a very large group here in Central Florida. So that's the public service announcement portion of the show tonight. With that, I would like to bring a special guest on board, and he's right here in the studio with me in the Heartbreak Hotel, and he is our photographer, our videographer, and co-director. What other title do you have? Anything that I'm forgetting? Anything we can say on radio? That is. Anyway, I would like to... I would like to invite our third member of Direct Light Productions, Preston Blakely. How are you, Preston?
How you doing, Don?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know what it's about. You were there with me through all of this.
Yes.
Now, am I exaggerating anything about this experience? Be honest.
In reference to the Florida Turnpike.
Well, yeah. Let's say the Turnpike, for example.
Not at all. Not at all. It's very... pocket wrenching experience there.
Pocket wrenching.
I find advice needs to be given to any person that has a family that wishes to come down to Florida, enjoy the freshly squeezed orange juice here in the Sunshine State, maybe to visit Mickey and his wife Minnie. Do not find yourself on the Florida Turnpike, because you will spend all of your extra cash paying the toll.
Oh, yeah, really. Take the side streets, folks. And you know what? You would think, you know, because you're on the Turnpike, tell me if this isn't true. Because you're on the Turnpike, you expect to beat the main traffic and make better time, but you have to stop at the toll booth so many times to pay.
Yes.
That really, you're behind. You're losing not just time, but money.
Time and money.
Yeah. And you know how angry I was. I mean, I was ranting about it. And you guys were so nice, you know. You didn't even say, shut up, man, or, you know. I mean, you would have been warranted to tell me to shut up. That's how angry I was about it. But this is the kind of thing, you know, this is truth learned in real experience. It's not read out of a book. It's just going through the motions like everybody else does out here. And they have this sunshine pass. It's like you save a quarter or something out of this.
Only if you're a longtime resident, I believe you'll see the benefits of the sunshine pass. For a person such as ourselves just traveling briefly in the state, there's no benefit.
Oh, so anyway, now the other thing was our musical experience. These were all local bands, and I'm presuming, just by the nature, from what I know about music, I would presume we heard nothing but original music tonight.
I would have to believe that was original music. the people on stage had microphones and they had instruments, but as far as the lyrical content, I couldn't decipher a word that any of the acts spoke.
Yeah. It's interesting to me. And now, you know, this wasn't heavy metal, and but I've heard lots of different styles of music, and I know that the, you know, you got the mosh pit fans, you know, and,
right?
And we got to see a little bit of that, you know, but there was something missing. I wanted to hear somebody sing, and I just heard a lot of screaming and.
Well, I think what was missing was the music.
Yeah. Yet, you know, these guys were very good at connecting with the people that were there, you know, and we're not at all casting dispersions on people. It's just there's a difference, I think, in where when we grew up and what we were exposed to and how we were trained in the arts. There's something different happening where either there's no training or the training's all bad. I don't know. And that may sound old-fashioned, but I look at music as an art form. There's definitely a spiritual side. Now, the spirit was not in this music. It was the opposite.
I can't say that there was any true spirit of the art form of music seen or heard in what we experienced this evening.
Yeah, I know. And you're being kind. You're being kind. There was a point during the last performance that we saw where I had proclaimed, "Where is Ron Paul when you really need him?" And I think just having him there tonight would have ended that last performance and you know, giving us a little reprieve. The house sound engineer was actually wearing earplugs himself, which sort of tells you.
I thought that was quite comical.
Well, okay, so now let's get into the event a little bit. We're going to be shooting various angles of the stage area. And we've got a lot of logistics to work out, and we were able to recruit some help from some of the local people. We've done this before too. You know, our audience has been made aware by me that we have worked on some projects, like the thing we did for the House of Blues in Cleveland last year, and that these events always have there's a little quirk or a little twist to how this thing is going to work out that just sort of, you know, they're called surprises, I guess.
Surprise.
And we're trying to work around that. We were lucky to run into a group of people that actually are going to assist us with this. This is really a massive effort, and the people in radio, for instance, are really not aware of all the work that the engineers in the studio have to do. And the engineers aren't really aware of all the work the hosts have to do. Isn't that right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
But, no, they understand. They work with the hosts, and we make some really crazy demands sometimes, but they do whatever they can to accommodate us. Now, a smooth-running machine where you have all kinds of variables. You know, we have people that call into the show or people that we bring into the show via a phone call or over voice over internet protocol. And all kinds of things can go wrong. The service that you're using for that protocol could go down or you could have phone problems. And here we're going to be streaming live video and audio over the internet to the network, and we've got to coordinate all of this. It's got to go on without a hitch. I mean, we want it to be perfect. And when we get to a place where they don't even know if they have internet, or they don't know what kind of internet, or so it creates a lot of work. And it's really maybe not their job to know that, but somebody there should know that. So we had to spend a lot of time just calculating some of the logistics as to how this was going to work. But what's interesting is you run into some people pretty much everywhere you go that know enough about what we do that they can be of assistance. They can help us. And I know that you and V were, and I'm speaking to Preston right now, you and V were actually, you know, talking to everybody, really checking out their qualifications to make sure, you know, that that's how we work. We work as a team.
Yes.
And we were able to recruit people that were interested in being team players and working with us that way. That's kind of like what this event is about, is to bring people together and make people aware of what's really going on. What does Ron Paul stand for, and why is this event there? Why is that an important event for these people in this area? They're not getting it here at all. We hear nothing about Ron Paul outside of this media group. And it's, in a way, it's disheartening, but in a way, it's also heartening that we are taking a step to affect a change and publicize this event. So what is your general feeling? How do you feel this is going to turn out, just from what you've seen in the first day, you know, that we've been working on this?
Well, I feel that it's definitely going to be an eye-opening experience for any and all that become aware of this event and actually participate. And actually participate in this event, you know, thinking back and remembering Florida, you know, Florida is the clinching state of the last election. Florida was the state that actually made the difference, if you will. And
what a difference, right?
What a difference it has made. So being here, and you made reference to the fact that there are people here, not just one or two people, that are not aware of who Ron Paul is. It's interesting. You made reference to the fact that former Governor Rudy Giuliani, you know, is making claims that he's going to win this state hands down.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to take that fact and that statement and put that with the fact that, if I can say, the ignorance or the lack of knowledge or the lack of awareness of the people that we've, the few people that we've come in contact with who have no idea who Ron Paul is, it causes me to say, wow, how is it that in Florida, of all states, there's more of a political affinity, a political awareness within the people, the community, to say, at least I know who this person is. At least I know who these other candidates are. At least I have more of a desire to find out and learn and explore what other candidates exist.
Yeah, well, we're also in the area of a few universities here, so there are a lot of young people that take an interest in their future and what's going on. Now, you see this really in any town where kids are going to school and we're talking about continuing education, you know, beyond the normal high school. I mean, we went through a couple of towns on the way here where the guy at the gas station didn't know where the next major town was. I mean, he couldn't tell you how long of a drive it was, or I mean, you run into people that are just they're so into what they're doing that they don't see anything else around them. So how can you expect them to know about an election when they don't know where the next town is? It's, you know, they've done a good job dumbing down some of the public. But we're not seeing people dumb here. Actually, you know, I've been able to talk to people. I would ask, well, you know, who are you planning on voting for? What candidate strikes you as interesting and sincere in helping us with our problems. And they'll mention a name. And then I'll ask the question, well, why not Ron Paul? And they'll look at me and they'll say, well, why should I be interested in Ron Paul? The door is wide open to present his position. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to vote for Ron Paul. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, too. Here we are working on an event that's a promotional event for Ron Paul, but it's ultimately it should be my decision based on gathering all the evidence that I can gather and come to a conclusion. I would say right now Ron Paul's in the lead to get my vote, and probably in the eyes of a lot of other people. And you guys know me pretty well. It's not an issue of this is a white man or this is a black man. That has absolutely nothing to do with my preference in a person. I also express to you, Preston, tell the folks if this is true or not, about Albert Howard. And that I emailed him and actually asked him if he would come on Evident Footprints as a guest. And I've received two emails from him since that time. No other candidate has done that. And I find that very interesting. It's not out of desperation. He's sharing information. He's looking at what's going on. And he's definitely has an interest in it, not just for himself, but for this country, for the listeners out there. This man is making a tremendous sacrifice personally. Now, one could argue that all the candidates are doing that, but the media is not presenting it on an equal basis. A couple of candidates get all the attention, all the glory, all the promotion, and all the publicity, and the rest of the candidates are forgotten or mocked. Ron Paul is one such person who's mocked by Fox News and CNN. And I have to tell you that makes me almost as mad as being on the Florida Turnpike. Mm-hmm. Okay? Almost. Go ahead.
Well, you know, in 2008, you almost have to use the media against itself, because the media has become so powerful. The media has basically taken hold of their reins and they go where they want to go. They go where they want to take the people, not just in news or television or film. In music as well, you know, we made comment at the beginning of the program in reference to the music that we were, and I do consider it music. You know, we were joking earlier. It is music. It's an art form. But because of the lack of training or the lack of passion for music, there lacks the training mm-hmm. of the new musicians that come forth today. So when we use the media, or the media uses us to promote our message, whether it's music or film or video or news itself, in a political arena, you have to be careful to not be put out by the media or shunned by the media, but at the same time, you have to stand up against the media in effort to communicate what it is that your true principles are, and not have those principles be influenced
or compromised
by the media itself.
Mm-hmm. Very good point you made, Preston, because I think you and I would agree, and many of the listeners out there would agree, that they're not hearing the truth, and you pointed that out too. The media has a duty to report the truth and to report whatever they report in an honest fashion. And that includes the reason why they're reporting it. And so often, the reason belies the whole message that they're reporting. Do you get the feeling, and maybe it's just me, but do you ever get the feeling that someone else is pulling their strings, that when you turn from CNN to Fox to MSNBC, and I'm leaving other networks out just for sake of time,
right,
that someone is telling them all what to say on any given day?
You know, I would like to be able to wake up in America and go outside in a sunshiny day and enjoy the sunshine across my skin and feel comfortable that it is a democratic state. It is a democratic society. However, the media has ulterior motives, and unfortunately that motive is not so much to promote truth or the reality of what that person is saying or singing. The media's motive is the dollar.
Money, yeah. And it's kowtowing to the corporate, military industrial complex, we know, is part of it, although they play a more backseat role in describing events that they want us to believe are occurring, or underreporting certain events that really are much more scandalous than they make them appear. And they do it for the drug companies. Look at the commercials. They're all drug commercials. Cars, oil, you know, oil-related gasoline products that are made from derivatives of oil. And if you're lucky, there might be a couple of food commercials in there. And we have the same, over and over, the same points are brought out that these foods are laced with toxins of all kinds to cause obesity, to get you to eat more. They enhance it with toxic substances that cause cancer or damage to the nervous system, such as aspartame. We talk about that quite a bit. We were eating, and we heard people say, hey, could you pass the, we won't say the brand names, but, you know, you might as well say, would you pass the rat poison? You know, I'm feeling like I need to kill some of my nervous system today while I drink my coffee. We've seen that, right? You know what I mean? It's, and I'm kind of saying it in a funny way, but it's really, we saw it real time, you know, and that's sad in a way, because once you wake up to this, you can't go back from the truth.
Right.
And every time you hear the media say a lie, you know, push this lie as if, well, they have to repeat their commercials 7 times, they know, until it sinks into the subconscious. Therefore, we have to repeat the lies to the public 7 times until it starts sinking into the subconscious. Unfortunately, that technique works. But there's a problem. When someone wakes, they wake up. And they see the truth. They can't come back. They can't go back to believing everything that they're hearing. They say, wait a minute now. I know the truth. I was there and I saw what happened. Or I have great reason to believe that the information that I have about that event was nothing like what was just described to me. We're witnessing that in real time here, aren't we?
All of us are, in some degree or fashion. I mean, you know, if the stove is hot and you have a toddler that's 3, 2 years old, don't go to the stove. It's hot. Toddler, 7 out of 10 times,
has to try it to get
has
burned.
To try it. Once that toddler touches the stove and they get burned, now they know there's the truth. They won't go and touch the stove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good analogy. Any other analogies?
I've got a few there.
Well, all in all, though.
So does that mean the media, therefore, is the stove?
Or are they the burned skin? You know, it's, or maybe a little bit of everything.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
You know, I think I think you know, there's the issue that you can possibly make the stove safe. You know, that could be built into the stove that you don't have to get burned, and I think honesty would require that there's some solution provided. That's really what the solution is. It's just like preventative medicine or or you know, safety designs worked into inventions that have the potential to be dangerous, just like you're describing. What we are experiencing, at least I am experiencing this in the people that I've talked to in the short time that we've been here, I notice a big difference in the way people think and what they're aware of in this area. It's quite different from where I'm from, where you're from, where V is from. We've all grown up to some extent in the same area. That's for certain. We have worked together also. And so we've experienced this in different time periods. I'm a little bit older than you guys, and
just a little.
But we've all taught in school, or we, you know, we've been around kids, and we know what it's like to teach kids and to bring them up and to instill some values in them. And when you're not seeing the government instill the values or the system instill the values, you say, why isn't that happening? Why are they teaching the kids to pass the test? Why aren't they really getting college? You see this when you go out in the real world. We see people that listen, your job is to take their money and put it in this drawer here, and if they ask a question, hand them a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Don't even give them a pen or a pencil to write. Just give them this piece of paper. Acknowledge their anger and their disgust with how this country's falling apart by giving them a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper. I mean,
it doesn't fix the problem.
No, it doesn't fix the problem, and it
doesn't address the problem,
and it doesn't do their system any justice either.
I think yeah. there's a reason. At the tire levels of the echelon, there's a reason for that. And that reason is they don't care. The top people are making their money.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we're at the top and we're getting that $2.50 toll, give them the paper, send them on their way,
mm-hmm.
let the next car go through.
The next sucker. You know, it will be here shortly.
Right.
Once he figures out he's in the system now and he can't get out.
And that's just not to say, you know, we're not trying to beat up on the local turnpike here, because it happens. It has happened to me most recently in a shoe store. It has happened to me most recently by an auto insurance company. You know, there is no level of accountability within America. Where is the accountability? And it is unfortunate that accountability now, today, has fallen on the dollar. And to say something even further, the accountability of the dollar now, today, is less than it has ever been.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's truth in what you're saying. Particularly in terms of accountability, and this is a message that we have preached on this show sometimes on a nightly basis, and that's that when we point out all these problems, we also like to offer solutions. I personally feel that it's important to offer some kind of solution or some alternative that... and if you think I'm wrong, then suggest a better way. You know the numbers here at bbsradio.com. You're welcome to call into the show and participate in this. This is not me talking at you. It's us speaking together with each other. You know, it's communication, and communication requires two participants at minimum. So what I am seeing and what you're seeing and what we're basically describing to our listening audience tonight is the fact that people have to take responsibility, and they're not going to be accountable for what they're doing other than just to laugh at us almost and say, look at them, you know, we're doing this right in their face and they're not even taking an interest in it. That's been the difference about Ron Paul's message. he has talked about what this country needs to do, the path that we need to take. What do we hear in the debates? We hear them attacking each other. You know, they're going after the messenger. And the reason they're doing that is because there's no message. They have no message. They're not putting forth a message based upon truth. What are they talking about? Health care again? Do we have health care now? Many people don't. I heard a report a couple of months ago. There were 67 million people in the United States that did not have health care. And I can guarantee you, those weren't illegal aliens coming over here. They're getting free health care that we're paying. Are they talking about that? Are they saying, well, we have these illegal aliens coming here and we're giving them free health care. Why are we doing that to the people who have paid taxes into the system, who have paid into Social Security? Why are we voting in Congress to give illegal aliens the hard-earned backup, you know, safety net that Social Security is supposed to provide when we retire? Why are we giving that away to people that haven't earned that right? Is it because you're willing to come over here and work for peanuts and illegally without proper documentation?
Well, you know, I heard the current president that we have speak at one of his opportunities to use the media to promote his propaganda. He communicated that he was willing to open the borders to illegal aliens, I guess, if you will, and allow them to come over, because if Americans did not want to work those jobs, then let's open the borders and allow them to come and work the jobs. And I'm thinking to myself, well,
did you hear the jobs announced, first of all?
Well, I didn't hear them announced, but I can speculate on what those jobs would be. But the key principle that I heard in that is you cannot be an American and live by working those jobs. You cannot afford to be an American and work those jobs. Financially, you're not going to make enough money. It's hard to be an American and make minimum wage today.
Yeah, okay, I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense. And in the context, let's say that politician that made that statement, whether it's the president or the vice president or the Secretary of Homeland Security or FEMA or any of the alphabet agencies, why is this a problem that just happened? Basically, when George Bush took office, why did this just happen? I mean, our country is over 230 years old. Why didn't this happen? It happened under Clinton too, when he signed NAFTA. That put it into play. Why is it just now all of a sudden that Americans can't live on that? And why is it that they can decide that someone else can? You see, we have these dichotomies, and we have these contradictions, and we have doublespeak. They're building the border wall. They're building a fence. They're building a wall. Yet they're not building it. Oh, yes, we need to make America safe. We need to start a war to make America safe. That's making America safe by killing our soldiers needlessly, by maiming them and destroying their families. And the ripple effect that has on the communities that depend on those soldiers when they're not in the theater fighting these senseless wars. So we have, again, it's catering to the military industrial complex, the mega corporations that control the media and control everything, all the money that goes into their campaign contributions. And their secret offshore bank accounts and their exotic trips and their perks and the things that if we heard about them and we knew what was going on, these people would be standing at the gallows.
Wow. It almost appears to me right now that people at the top aren't Americans.
Interesting you should say that. Interesting you should say that. And you know what? There's research to show that that's a very correct statement that you just made. And you know what I'm talking about. But not just by me, by many others. We're hearing a recurring theme from people. From all walks of life, we're hearing this. Even here in Florida, we're hearing this. We had a nice dinner tonight. Our friend Vance took us to a nice dinner, and we talked about a lot of different topics. And we got along really well with the people that we came into contact with throughout the course of our meal. Everyone was very accommodating in an unusual way, I have to say, because you don't really see that in a lot of places. I didn't find myself thinking, how come we're not getting waited on? Where's the waiter? Where's the waitress? Why is the food all wrong? Why is this bad? Everything went real smooth. And smoothly. I found myself, cherishing my friendships and the whole experience. This was intended to be a nice experience from the beginning. Now, why is it that we, as people, can do those things by ourselves, but the servants, the people that are working for the country, why is it that they have to do everything serving their own interests? And then when it doesn't work out, they want to shift the responsibility on someone else instead of taking the blame themselves for what they do. Well, you hit the nail on the head when you said you're feeling that they're probably not Americans or that they're not Americans. I'm paraphrasing what you said. Say it again. How did you say that?
I said, it seems to be that the people that are benefiting from the backs, the sweat, the struggles of Americans, of true hardworking Americans, aren't Americans, because if they were, they would take into consideration the struggles that hardworking Americans actually go through, the lack of health care, the lack of finances to feed and house their families. It is a true struggle, even more so today, for the average American person to just drive to work. I mean, gas prices are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. There is no rest for the hardworking American. You know, when you can go to the gas station a year ago and pay X amount of dollars for gas and buy a beverage for 99 cents, and then we have the oil crisis, quote-unquote crisis, that is currently happening in the world today, and that 99-cent beverage goes to $1.50, but your minimum wage didn't go up. Everything has gone up, gas prices, the beverage, the stick of gum. You know, the candy lady used to sell candy to middle school students for 5 cents. You can't buy
anything for five cents anymore.
No.
You can't even ride the turnpike in Florida for 5 cents.
I don't think you ever could.
No.
And the orange juice isn't freshly squeezed.
Oh, yeah. What was interesting is and we had a very nice waitress.
And I did say squelching.
Yeah. We had this, there was a request by a couple of the people in our party to get a glass of orange juice. That's all they talked about all the way here is, I can't wait to get some fresh orange juice in Florida. And we're talking about fresh squeezed or fresh squozen. new word we got here. Orange juice from Florida. And the girl said, I have to be honest with you. This was our waitress. I have to be honest with you. This is not good juice. This is something else. I mean, obviously she was talking about something that was probably laden with some kind of chemicals and preservatives and flavor enhancers or something, and she did not want to ruin our evening. That set the tone for the whole evening. She had more credibility than any politician I've ever heard.
Because she was an American, a hardworking American.
Yeah, and she was doing a job that no American, and she was American, by the way. You know, it's not like we're just belly aching for the sake of belly aching. We're making observations and drawing conclusions as to why things are the way they are today. And when you see people who are conscious about having some integrity and they take responsibility. See, this girl took responsibility for the whole company. Not only was she is the company when she's dealing with the public. The company itself is the name. It doesn't matter what restaurant we went to, although I think it would be actually beneficial to mention. We went to Red Lobster, and I've been to some Red Lobsters that should have changed their name because of the harm that they're doing to the rest of the chain. This one, I would say, if I didn't know better, this was one of the first Red Lobsters in the country. And they were doing the business they were doing because of good service and good food and taking responsibility for everything that they did while we were there. You know what I'm saying, Preston? That experience was what it was because everybody there was doing the right thing. And where we disagree with our government or where people want to blame others for the problems, it always boils down to accountability, like you said, and taking responsibility, personal responsibility. Let me ask you this. So we're about out of time here now, if we're not already, before we close out the show. What is your hope or what are your perceptions? What do you hope to see in the next couple of days here before we actually are streaming this and under the pressure of making this work live TV and radio over the internet with PBSRadio.com? What would you like to see happen? What good or whatever? Say what's on your heart.
Well, it's not so much as what I want to see over the next couple of days as what I would like to see for the duration of time of the country of America, is that people in America have to, it's not even a need, it's not a want, it's a have to. We have to basically find accountability within ourselves, within our own homes, and start there. And from that point in principle, it will begin the positive momentum, because as long as we allow the powers that be, the mainstream efforts of the current system, the current media to lead us, they will lead us astray. And it only will change collectively from the people of America, to find that accountability within ourselves to stop, change direction, and make that change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what, when you were saying that, I was thinking of them, really they're just leading us in circles, and I was thinking of the song, You Got Me Going in Circles, where it's just around, it's spin. Isn't that what spin is? Just around and round in a circle. And it makes us feel like we're on a treadmill or, a little exercise wheel, like a hamster or a mouse, where we have this momentary spin, and that's supposed to settle the issue, where it just further complicates the matter. You know, we have these moguls. Rupert Murdoch last week, and I read this on the news, he actually had the audacity to call us stupid Americans. And I was talking to somebody, was one of you guys, maybe it was V. I think it was V. V said, well, he's right. And, you know, it Yes, he is. V was totally right. Ain't that V?
Well, it's almost to the
you
point.
You said that. You said he's right. He's telling the truth.
You know, we have, as a society, as an American society, we have basically given trust to mom and dad. If I could, you know,
grandma and grandpa.
Grandma and grandpa. We've given them
Uncle,
too much
trust.
I love
Sam.
My grandma. You know,
Uncle Sam.
Don't get Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam. We have given too much trust to Uncle Sam and Aunt Sally Mae and Aunt Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac. Cool.
Bernie Mac. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. What is it? Fannie Mae? Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae.
Freddie Mac.
Freddie Mac. Yeah, it's Freddie Mac. Sorry, Bernie. My apologies. And you know, again, we have to take it back.
Yeah, we have to take responsibility, but we have to be on a mission.
We have to be on a mission collectively.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. You said we have to, and we could say we must. I would say we have no other choice.
We have no other choice.
We really don't.
Or we will be left here in ruins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at least we can feel good that we're taking some action and we're helping to bring the message out.
And leave Brittany alone or help her.
Yeah.
'Cause I'm tired of seeing her on CNN.
At least buy her some drawers, right? Get the girl's got enough money to buy some drawers, you know? So
let's talk.
All right. Well, folks, we're out of time. Our guests tonight, our guests, I should say, have been Mr. Vortex, videographer and the king of super beats, and also Preston Blakely, our videographer, producer, co-producer, director, photographer extraordinaire, and also teacher, has been the main guest tonight on Evident Footprints. We're going to be working together. He'll probably be with us again tomorrow night, too. We're going to get V. We're going to get some crank in him. That's coffee. And be wide awake and have him speak a little bit more to you about what we're doing. He's getting his feet wet in some new territory here in a very strange environment. But we're going to make it work. What we've noticed is that we're just communicating with the people, and it works. And that's what we need to do with each other is communicate. We can work through any kind of problem. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, your host, and I want to wish you all peace, love, and light, and have a good night. Special thanks to Seth and Don, and we'll talk to you guys later. Tomorrow evening, folks. Good night.